So briefly before I begin my homily, I wanted to talk to you about our bishop's annual appeal, called the BAA, or the BA, as I like to sometimes call it. A reminder that I have a deal with every parish that I've ever been in, and they ask us to do about 6 weekends worth of talks by me and other people from the parish, and on the reasons that it's a good thing and why we should give to it. So my deal has always been that if we meet or exceed, as we usually do, our goal, this will be my only talk to you. So please don't make me show the video at Mass. And I hope this part's not being recorded so the bishop can't hear it. But anyway, having said that, the BAA is a very worthy appeal. It's not there to somehow pay the bishop something. It's not going to him at all. It's an arm for him to be able to do the good that you and I wish we could do on a larger scale over the diocese. It's a way for us to join in that wider reach that we cannot do at a parish level. The BAA sustains and expands ministries in our 94 parishes, 20 missions, and 34 Catholic schools and agencies in our diocese. It helps fund Catholic charities, of which Our Lady of the Valley Catholic Center gets a lot of their help from that in order for them to help the poor. It helps fund vocations. Our schools, not all of them are able to do as well as St. Mary's, for young adult programs, our college ministry, and it funds all kinds of ministries that you can read about. And every parish has a target goal, so keep in mind that we as a parish directly benefit when we surpass the goal. Half of that comes to us, sort of not quite as free money, but at least we can put it back into our own parish after that. So if you are registered, you have already received a mailing from the bishop, a direct mailing, asking to consider a gift. So do that, or you can go to our own webpage and click on our link to the BAA and give online. And there you can find that video I told you about that explains more about it. So please do it today, and I'm talking to myself as well. I haven't done it yet either, so we need to all do it, because we can do real, substantial good on a much larger scale. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You may or may not know that each year in South Carolina and in most states, attorneys have to have a certain number of continuing legal education in order to continue their practice. The same for pharmacists. My sister is a pharmacist. She has to complete several hours of continuing ed to keep herself current and to keep her license so she can do it. The South Carolina Board of Medical Examiners requires 40 hours every 2 years of continuing medical education for all doctors and people in that realm. Continuing education is required for insurance agents, real estate agents. Many businesses, at least the managers, have to do that. School teachers are constantly having to do continuing ed. Athletes themselves, it's not just about practicing, they're constantly reading up on how to do it better and keep going in a good way. So even when I waited tables, I was a banquet server in college at the Marriott in Columbia. And they made us go to seminars on how to do it better, how to be a better host, and how to do these things. The list goes on and on. My point is, we expect that professionals have a certain amount of continuing ed. They keep learning about things. So you don't want to go to a doctor and for him to go open you up, and you ask him, when's the last time you read an article? When I graduated about 30 years ago, it's pretty same, right? You don't want to go to an insurance provider and say, now, am I getting the best coverage for the lowest price? No, I think so. When I studied about 20 years ago, and I don't think anybody can do it better, but I don't know, really. We keep learning. We not only hope, but we expect these people to be experts in their field. We expect excellence. But for some reason, when it comes to the most important matter of all, the things of God, we expect God will perhaps somehow magically implant all the knowledge that we will possibly need through some osmosis or magical waves that we don't want to expend any energy at all to learn, to learn more. And so often we stop learning in grade school, or at best sometimes high school if we went to a Catholic high school, maybe college. Now, if you were a dog or a cat or a squirrel or a guppy, that would be okay. But you are created in God's image. There is so much more for him that he wants to give us. Part of the definition of being in God's image is that he has given you a share in his very mind and his very reasoning capacity. The fact that we can study and think and make critical decisions, that's all part of exercising that part of God that you and I are created in his image. Now, you are here this morning because you were called. You were baptized. Jesus Christ chose you to be here, even as an infant, to be a disciple, to be an apostle even. That means one who is sent. Remember, he says, it is not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. You and I are here because he wanted us here. We are baptized because he wanted us baptized, because he has a mission. Now, we have two millennia of theologians, from Augustine to Albert to St. Thomas Aquinas to more contemporary ones, Peter Kreeft to Brad Petrie and Bishop Robert Barron. The idea of studying God and God's existence and how he operates and can help us is so important, and all that information is there. So why do we ignore it? Why won't we take advantage of part of the gift of being in God's image? To study God especially is important in our day. It is not enough to pray. Yes, we should do that first. That should be number one. But we also need to have a continuing education. We all need it. I mentioned in my column this week, Formed. It's most everything on it is free. There is no hidden cost. It is provided for you. Unless you go to the market and hit buy on something, that's different. That's the Amazon portion of Formed. We're talking about the included portion. You can read all about it in my column. We even have a link on our webpage on going straight to there, and you can register. Again, you're here because you were chosen. Jesus Christ has chosen to make you known, but you cannot give what you do not have. So, you might say, Father, I can't. I'm not holy enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not worthy. Well, in terms of being smart, what does Jesus say? Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for what you have hidden from the wise and the learned you have revealed to the childlike. You don't have to be wise in terms of this world. There is plenty you can learn, and then depend on the Holy Spirit to fill in the rest. That'll be humility. Do what you can. Just tell people what you know and you have been studying. The Holy Spirit will fill in the rest. You say, well, maybe I've tried, Father, and you know, my children, they fell away from the church. They just won't listen. I've tried out in my workplace. They just aren't listening. Well, be like St. Peter today in the boat, where Jesus said, go out again. He said, but we've been fishing all night, and we haven't caught anything. But at your word, I will put out the nets again. And they caught more than they could possibly imagine. It's the miraculous thing. Jesus is waiting to show these miracles to us. And so now the question of worthiness. The first reading, Isaiah, hears the song of the angels being sung. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. He says, I am a man of unclean lips. He was chosen anyway and purified for that mission. St. Paul said, I am the least of these. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And yet God chose him anyway. It wasn't about his personal holiness or worthiness. God knew that he had a gift, and he used that gift. So many reasons why you and I are here today. He went to the Gentiles. And in the gospel, we have wonderful St. Peter. Realizing after that miracle that he was in the presence of the divine, he falls down at the knees of Jesus and says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." In fact, even later on, we know he's going to deny he even knows who Jesus is. And yet, he was chosen, made the rock on which the church was built. Peter means rock. You and I are not chosen because of our worthiness, because of our holiness. No one is worthy enough or holy enough right now. Not me, not you, not Pope Francis, not anyone. We are chosen so that by living the way of Jesus Christ, that we might at last become holy, become worthy. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. But only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. We might stumble again like St. Peter, but get up like he did and lead. You have the courage in you to do that from the Holy Spirit you received at confirmation. It's not your courage, it's the Holy Spirit inside you. So yes, you can do it. You have the strength. You say, well okay, how? How, Father? How is God asking me to do this? Don't ask me to do your homework for you. I don't know. You've got to talk to God. You've got to go read about it. I don't know what God is calling each individual person to do. I just know that he's calling. He's called me to tell you about it, that's for sure. And I'm doing my part. Now you must go and do yours. Jesus is calling. Say yes. Pray. Study. He will tell you how. For now, say yes. And follow him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us stand.